Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Praise be to God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please dial in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. and you can participate in our lesson this evening. And also, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. At this time, I'd like to ask the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our service or our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come you
might be in a place in your life where all you see is the color gray, and the future looks dark and dreary. It's just like a dark cloud came over the earth and covered the land with fog. But there's one thing I want you to know. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was good. Let me tell you about it. There were many times in my life when I felt like I was all by myself, and I needed an answer from the Lord. There were many times when I had nobody to turn to, but the Lord. So I decided to give him a try. I had to call on him.
Call on him.
Pleaded with the Lord to heal.
Call on him.
Down on my knees, I called on him. Hey.
Call on him.
All of a sudden, I heard a voice singing deep down inside. Trials and tribulations, and your heavy laden burden. Jesus said, cast your cares upon me, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You might feel like you're being tried, just trying to stand the test of time. But let me tell you one thing, the God I serve is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power of his riches and glory that work in us. All you have to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Come on, let's pray about it. All you gotta do is call on him.
Call on him.
Sometimes you gotta call on him. Hey!
Call on him.
Please. cry.
Call on
you
him.
You gotta call him and hear his voice speaking way deep down inside. He's saying,
praise be to God. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. And now I would like to share this little message with you, which is entitled, That Which Is Prepared for God's Lovers. Amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Amen. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, this is Paul's message of wisdom. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I did not use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Yet, when I am among mature believers, I do speak with the words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world, who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world has not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scripture mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imaged what God has prepared for those who love him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. At first glance, one might conclude that the promise of this passage of scripture is referring to heavenly rewards. However, a closer examination of the content will reveal that this is not true. The discussion that precedes these verses relates to the wisdom of the natural man. Here, the writer spoke of the spiritual man. Verse 10 confirms that this promise refers to the present and not the future. The text for this message is coming from 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, and it says, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Amen. Praise God. The Holy Spirit gives to believers. The first is the divine pardon of sin. This is first in importance, both chronological and by priority. The natural mind cannot grasp this. The unsaved person does not have the Holy Spirit to make the explanation. The second thing the Holy Spirit gives is spiritual purity. God desires that we live clean, wholesome lives. Spiritual purity is a cleanness that comes as a gift of God. The third thing the Holy Spirit gives is hope. This can and does refer to hope beyond the earthly life, but it is not confined to that. It also refers to hope for better things in the present life. The fourth thing the Holy Spirit gives is the revelation of God. The Holy Spirit reveals the very essence of God. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, the Spirit tells of the attributes as well as the thoughts of God. He also reveals the purposes, plans, and providence of God. Amen? The fifth thing the Holy Spirit gives is assurance. In Romans 8 and 16, Romans 8 and 28 declares, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Praise God. The sixth thing the Holy Spirit gives is comfort. John 14 is truly a masterpiece for human comfort. The Lord Jesus empathetically stated, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 18, he made clear that the Holy Spirit is that comforter. John 14:16 through 17. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, the Lord teaches believers these things. In this school, the believer is taught the deep things of God. These things are deep because they are undiscoverable by human reason. Natural human powers cannot comprehend these things. The eye referred to in verse 9 is the equivalent of natural faculties. And the things are also deep because they come from the phantomness ocean of deep of divine love. In this school, the believer is instructed by the greatest of teachers, the Holy Spirit, as the divine one. The Holy Spirit has infinite knowing about all things. Amen? Praise God. So if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, having received eternal life as a gift from God that makes you God's child, then I urge you to take inventory of all that is yours because of your relation to God. I hope this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. Amen? Praise God. At this time, again, I will play another selection. And you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, forgive us for not trusting in your healing power and for worrying and fretting about what might be wrong in our bodies or in a relative's body. Heal us not only of physical ailments, we pray, but also of the doubt that keeps us from trusting in you as Jehovah Rapha and looking to you as our healer. Forgive us for harming our bodies by not eating well, exercising consistently, or resting enough. Forgive us for not treasuring our bodies and treating it with the value that it deserves as your creation and temple. Amen, amen, and amen.
And is able. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able, amen. He's able. Hallelujah. Come to let you know that my God is able, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able, yes. Oh, I come to let you know, oh, that my God is able. Yes, he is able to heal you now. Yes, yes, my God is able. I think you don't know. I said, I come to let you know that the God of the power, my God is able. Yes, I know he's able to heal you now, to heal you now, yeah. Oh, my God is able. Sing it to them heaven. I came to let you know that my God is able, yeah, to set you free. Yes, my God is able. I came to let you know tonight, in spite of what you're going through, that my God is able, able to set you free. Oh, yes, my God. Whatever you're going through tonight, just remember, my God is able.
that my God is able, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able. Let me tell you a little bit about what I've been through, yeah. See, I've been homeless, yeah. Didn't know where I was gonna rest my head, but God is bigger.
Your neighbor, tell him he's able. Come on, say he's able.
Able.
He's able.
Able.
Say able.
Able.
Say able.
Able.
Say able.
Able.
Say able.
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 Oh, able.
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 Able. No matter what you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose. And is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord. Call on his name. Cause he's able. Cause he's able. My God is able. Able to release you. Able to set you free. Able to heal you, yeah. Able to deliver you. Able to rescue you. Able to hold you up. Able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He's able to make way out of no way. God, I make something out of nothing. Hallelujah, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is. Yes he is. Oh, I know, I know. I can't let God is able. Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise. Somebody give him glory. Give him worship. We worship you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, there is none like you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship. We worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
Amen. It is now time for our devotional message. Praise be to God. Amen. Which is entitled, Seek My Face. Amen. And my scripture reading is coming from Psalms 27 and 8. In the New King James Version, where it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. My second scripture reading is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. And it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Amen? And my third scripture reading is coming from Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, and it says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title is Seek My Face More and More. You are really just beginning your journey of intimacy with me. It is not an easy road, but it is a delightful and privileged way. A treasure hunt. I am the treasure, and the glory of my presence glitters and shimmers along the way. Hardship, a part of the journey too. I meet them out ever so carefully, in just the right dosage, with a tenderness you can hardly imagine. Do not recoil from afflictions, since they are among my most favorite gifts. Trust me, and don't be afraid, for I am your strength and song. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you, as it is unto me. Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, your faithfulness, Lord, is everlasting. You are faithful to us, and even when we are not faithful to you. Today, let us serve you with our heart, with our souls, and with our mind. And then let us rest in the knowledge of your unchanging and constant love for us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, I will play another selection. Praise God. Praise God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Our title for this message is Mortality and Humility. And the scripture reading is coming from James chapter 4, verses 7 through 17, and it says, "So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, the gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Amen. The text for this message is coming from James chapter 4, verse 14, and it says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Again, the title is Mortality and Humility. Ancient scholars Jerome and Tertullian referred stories of how in ancient Rome, after a general triumph in an epic victory, he would be paraded atop a gleaming chariot down the capital's central thoroughfares from dawn to sunset. The crowd would roar. The general would bask in the admiration, revealing in the greatest honor of his life. However, legend has it that a servant stood behind the general the entire day, whispering into his ears, "Memento mori, remember you will die." Amid all the adulation, the general desperately needed the humility that came with remembering that he was mortal. James wrote to a community infected with prideful desires and an inflated sense of self-sufficiency. Confronting their arrogance, he spoke a piercing word. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. James 4 and 6. What they needed was to humble themselves before the Lord. Verse 10. And how would they embrace this humility? Like Roman generals, they needed to remember that they would die. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow, James insisted. You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes, verse 14. The owning their fratetti freed them to live under the solidity of the Lord's will rather than their own fading efforts, verse 15. When we forget that our days are numbered, it can lead to pride. But when we are humbled by our mortality, we see every breath and every moment as grace. Amen? Question, what does this story of the Roman generals and the phrase memento mori say to you? Why do you need to remember your mortality? Let us pray. God, we like to think that our life is in our control. We sometimes act as though we'll live forever. Humble us. Help us find life only in you. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So at this time, I will play another selection. Thank you.
of the sea, pour out my heart, Lord, at your feet. Hear my
my co-host online. God bless you, Barbara Amore. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed, David, and yourself?
Blessed, thank you. Praise God.
Beautiful.
We're just waiting on our speaker for this evening. Should be with us momentarily.
All right.
In the meantime, I'm going to play a short selection.
Okay.
You can't hurry, gone. Oh, no, you just gotta wait. Gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
A God
you can't hurry. He'll be there. Don't you worry. Oh, well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. Oh, you can't hurry God. Oh, no, you just gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time.
Don't you worry,
oh well, he may not come when you
God bless you, caller 347-297. How are you this evening?
This is me. I'm doing fine. It's Nadine.
Oh, okay. So now it is time for our lesson by our very own Nadine Wiggins, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Okie dokie.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. How is everybody doing?
Blessed, thank
Blessed
you.
Blessed, Holly David. You?
Nice. Yes. Yes. God is a Jehovah Rapha.
Yep.
He's a healer. My daughter's doing fine. Okay. She's back to work. And all is well. Yes.
Amen.
Couldn't wait to get back to work.
Beautiful.
Amen. Praise God.
So definitely the prayers, you know.
Mm-mm. Nice.
Yes. Amen. So let's open up in prayer. Dear God, Lord God, we love you, Lord God. We praise your holy name, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you do, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for being just who you are, Lord God. Lord God, you are love, Lord God. Everything about you, Lord God, just represents the type of love, Lord God, that agape love, Lord God, that unconditional love, God, Lord God, and we thank you for it, Lord God.
Thank
we thank you for reaching out and loving us so much, Lord God.
Thank you.
That you gave your only begotten Son, Lord God, to us, who we didn't deserve it, Lord God, but you loved us anyway, in spite of our sins, Lord God. We thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord God, we welcome you, Father, into this lesson, Lord God. We welcome you in, Lord God, so that everything that we say and do, Lord God, we pray that it's pleasing to you, Lord God, and and acceptable to you, Lord God. And I pray that every heart and mind, Lord God, be open to what it is that you will have us get out of this lesson, Lord God. I thank you for those who are participating, Lord God, and we pray and we will continue to pray, Lord God, for more, Lord God, for more people to come and learn more about you, Lord God. But, Lord God, we know it's in your hands, Lord God, and we just pray for the increase. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So I had to, how does this phone sound? This is my home phone. Because
better.
My cell phone, I'm about to throw that thing out the window. It's terrible. And it's a new, you know, iPhone 13 and all that kind of stuff like that. And the phone don't even work. It cuts off. People can't hear me.
Maybe it's the Wi-Fi.
No, it's not the Wi-Fi. I can be anywhere.
Really?
And it'll just some people, I'll be talking and somebody will be like, hello, hello, and I'm saying hello and they can't hear me, and then I have to hang up and call them back, and it's just a mess. It really is a mess. No, because it happens with different people, so I don't know what it is, but anyway. Anyway, we are. No, I don't have it, sir.
Could be a service. Might not be. Yeah, it could be that too.
I think it is.
Because it's a dropout.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, get to. We are in Zechariah. We're finishing up with Zechariah.
Yes.
Okay, we're up to the key verses. We did Christ in Zechariah.
We're at the two burdens.
Huh?
The two burdens. That's the last paragraph.
Oh, right, because we went to.
Mm-hmm.
We went through the, okay, is that called survey? And we did four messages, right, so we have to do the two burdens, right. Okay, so the two burdens, hold on 1 second. Hello? I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, we're up to the two burdens. And the first burden, which is in chapters 9 through 11, concerns the first advent and the rejection of Israel's coming king. Alexander the Great will conquer Israel's neighbors, but will spare Jerusalem. And we can see that in, Hilda, if you can get chapter 9, verses 1 through 8.
Okay.
And then, Sister Barbara, if you can get chapter 9, verses 9 through 10. Well, don't read it yet, Hilda.
Okay.
I'll tell you when to read it. So, Alexander the Great will conquer Israel's neighbors, but will spare Jerusalem, which will be preserved for the king the Messiah. So now you can read 9, 1 through 8, and then right after she finishes, Sister Barbara, you can read 9 through 10.
We read this last week.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't remember this. I don't remember reading about Alexander the Great.
The paragraph was from another one, and because I remember this is the message from the Lord against the land of Aram and the city of Damascus, for the eyes of humanity, including all the tribes of Israel, are on the Lord. Doom is certain for Hamath near Damascus, and for the cities of Tyre and Sidon. Though they are so clever, Tyre has built a strong fortress and has made silver and gold as plentiful as dust in the street. But now the Lord will strip away Tyre's possession and hurl its fortifications into the sea, and it will be burned to the ground. Then the city of Ashkelon will see Tyre fall and will be filled with fear. Gaza will shake with terror, and as will Ekron, for their hopes will be dashed. Gaza's king will be killed, and Ashkelon will be deserted. Foreigners will occupy the city of Ashdod. I will destroy the pride of the Philistines. I will grab the bloody meat from their mouths and snatch the detestable sacrifices from their teeth. Then the surviving Philistines will worship our God and become like a clan in Judah. The Philistines of Ekron will join my people as the ancient Jebusite once did. I will guard my temple and protect it from invading armies. I am watching closely to ensure that no more foreign oppressors overrun my people's land. I apologize. I'm the one that read it last week. I think that's why I said we read it already, but it was me. I read it on.
Okay. And Sister Barbara?
Mine is entitled A Humble King Riding a Donkey. Shout and cheer, daughter Zion. Raise a roof, daughter Jerusalem. Your king is coming, a good king who makes all things right. A humble king riding a donkey, a mere colt of a donkey. I've had it with war. No more chariots in Ephraim. No more war horses in Jerusalem. No more swords and spears, bows and arrows. He will offer peace to the nations, a peaceful rule worldwide, from the four winds to the seven seas. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. That is the Messiah.
Amen.
That will persevere. And then Israel will succeed against Greece. And that's the Maccabees revolt, which is verses 9 through 11. Verses still in chapter 9, but verses 11 through 17. Sister Barbara, can you read it in your message Bible, please?
Yes. And you, because of my blood covenant with you, I release your prisoners from their hopeless cells. Come home, hope-filled prisoners. This very day I'm declaring a double bonus. Everything you lost returned twice over. Judah is now my weapon, the bow I pull, setting Ephraim as an arrow to the string. I'll wake up your sons, O Zion, to counter your sons, O Greece. From now on, people are my swords. then God will come into view, his arrows flashing like lightning. That's the God will blast his trumpet and set out in a whirlwind. God of the angel army will protect them all out war, the war to end all wars. No hold barred. Their God will save the day. He'll rescue them. They'll become like sheep, gentle and soft, or like gemstones in a crown, catching all the colors of the sun. Then how they'll shine, shimmer, glow. The young men robust, the young women lovely. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. And although they will later be scattered, the Messiah will bless them and bring them back. And Hilda, can you get chapter 10?
Yes.
And read all the way to
11:3.
Yeah.
Amen. The Lord will restore his people. Ask the Lord for rain in the spring, for he makes the storm clouds, and he will send showers of rain, so every field becomes a lush pasture. Household gods give worthless advice. Fortune tellers predict only lies. And interpreters of dreams pronounce falsehoods that give no comfort. So my people are wandering like lost sheep. They are attacked because they have no shepherds. My anger burns against your shepherds, and I will push these leaders, for the Lord of heaven's armies has arrived to look after Judah, his flock. He will make them strong and glorious, like a proud war horse in battle. From Judah will come the cornerstone, the tent peg, the bow for battle, and all the rulers. They will be like mighty warriors in battle, trampling their enemies in the mud under their feet. Since the Lord is with them, as they fight, they will overthrow even the enemy's horsemen. I will strengthen Judah and save Israel. I will restore them because of my compassion. It will be as though I have never rejected them, for I am the Lord, their God, who will hear their cries. The people of Israel will become like mighty warriors, and their hearts will be made happy as if by wine. Their children, too, will see it and be glad. Their hearts will rejoice in the Lord. When I whistle to them, they will come running, for I have redeemed them from the few who are left. They will grow as numerous as they were before. Though I have scattered them like seeds among the nations, they will still remember me in distant lands. They and their children will survive and return again to Israel. I will bring them back from Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will resettle them in Gilead and Lebanon until there is no more room for them all. They will pass safely through the sea of distress, for the waves of the sea will be held back, and the waters of the Nile will dry up. The pride of Assyria will be crushed, and the rule of Egypt will end. By my power, I will make my people strong, and by my authority, they will go wherever they wish. I, the Lord, have spoken. Open your doors, Lebanon, so that fire may devour your cedar forest. Weep, you cypress trees, for all the ruined cedars, the most majestic ones, have fallen. Weep, you oaks of Bashan, for the thick forests have been cut down. Listen to the wailing of the shepherds, for their rich pasture and are destroyed. Hear the young lions roaring, for their thicket in the Jordan Valley are ruined.
Amen, amen, amen. So, but you know, because the purpose of this first burden is, I mean, it's basically the first burden is the concerns that the first advent, and it's the rejection of Israel's coming king. And we see as we go the next chapter, in this chapter 11, Israel will reject the shepherd king and be led astray by false shepherds. And, I mean, up until this point, I mean, you hear how God is taking care of all of their enemies and, you know, just making a way, you know, for them to live good. And still, in spite of all of that, you know, there's a rejection of the king. You know, and they fall into false prophets. So, Sister Barbara, if you can read 11 up until from 4 to 17, the rejection.
Okay, this is entitled Breaking the Beautiful Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
God commanded me, shepherd the sheep that are soon to be slaughtered. The people who buy them will butcher them for quick and easy money. What's worse? They'll get away with it. The people who sell them will say, lucky me, God's on my side. I've got it made. They have shepherds, couldn't care less about them. God's decree, I'm washing my hands of the people of this land. From now on, they're all on their own. It's dog eat dog, survival of the fittest. And the devil take the hindmost. Don't look for help from me. So I took over from the crack, muddy, grubbing owners and shepherded the sheep marked for slaughter. I got myself two shepherd staffs. I named one Lovely, the other Harmony. We read this. Then I went to work shepherding the sheep. Within a month, I got rid of the corrupt shepherds. I got tired of putting up with them, and they couldn't stand me. And then I got tired of the sheep and said, I've had it with you. No more shepherding from me. If you die, you die. If you're attacked, you're attacked. Whoever survives can eat what's left. Then I took the staff named Lovely and broke it across my knee, breaking the beautiful covenant I had made with all the peoples. In one stroke, both staff and covenant were broken. The money-hungry owners saw me do it and knew God was behind it. Then I addressed them. Pay me what you think I'm worth. They paid me an insulting sum, counting out 30 silver coins. God told me, throw it in the poor box. The stingy wage was all they thought of me and my work. So I took the 30 silver coins and threw them into the poor box in God's temple. Then I broke the other staff, Harmony, across my knee, breaking the concord between Judah and Israel. God then said, dress up like a stupid shepherd. I'm going to install just such a shepherd in this land, a shepherd indifferent to victims, who ignores the lost, abandons the injured, and disdains decent citizens. He'll only be in it for what he can get out of it, using and abusing any and all. Doomed to you, useless shepherd, walking off and leaving the sheep. A curse on your arm. A curse on your right eye. Your arm will hang limp and useless. Your right eye will go stone blind. That's it.
Amen. Oh, my goodness. Yes. And then the second burden, which is chapters 12 to 14, they concern the second advent of Christ and the final acceptance of Israel's king. The nation will attack, the nations will attack Jerusalem, but the Messiah will come and deliver his people. That's in chapter 12. They will be cleansed of impurity and falsehood in chapter 13. And the Messiah will come in power to judge the nations and reign in Jerusalem over the whole earth. And that's chapter 14.
Amen.
Amen. So that concludes Zechariah. That concludes Zechariah. Because
mm-hmm.
we read the chapters prior to this. And now Malachi.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi. We move into Malachi. Okay, so Malachi marks the close of the Old Testament prophecy and the beginning of 400 years of silence between the Old and New Testament. Having learned little from their captivity, the people soon lapse into many of the same sins that resulted in their exile in the first place. Covetousness, idolatry, mixed marriages with pagan people, abuse of the poor, callous hearts. In a question and answer format, Malachi highlights Judah's hard-heartedness and pronounces God's curse upon all who practice such things. It will remain from John the Baptist, the promised forerunner who would come in the power of the Spirit of Elijah to bring hope-filled message. Behold, the Lamb of God. So, Malachi is broken up into, let's see, four chapters.
Four chapters.
The first half is privilege of the nation. So it says love of God, love of God for the nation. That's the first half. The second half is two parts. One is the sin of the priest and the sin of the people. And then we have the book of remembrance and then the coming of Christ. And finally, the coming of Elijah, which is in chapter 4. So the book actually goes from the past, which is the first chapter, to the present, which is chapters 1 through chapters 3, 15, and then the future. And it's broken into, again, care of God, complaint of God, and the coming of God. And all of this happens in Jerusalem. They're all in Jerusalem, and all of this is happening in Jerusalem. So, let me squeeze this back. It's so big. Okay, so Malachi, a prophet in the days of Nehemiah, directs his message of judgment to the people plagued with corrupt priests. These people are plagued with corrupt priests, wicked practices, and a false sense of security in their privileged relationship with God. Using the question and answer method, Malachi probes deeply into their problems and hypocrisy, their problems of hypocrisy, infidelity, mixed marriages, divorce, false worship, and arrogance. So sinful has the nation become that God's word to the people no longer have any impact. For 400 years after Malachi's ringing condemnation, God remained silent only with the coming of John the Baptist does God again communicate to his people through a prophet's voice. The meaning of the name Malachi, which means my messenger, is probably a shortened form of messenger of Yahweh, and it is appropriate to the book, which speaks of the coming of the messenger of the covenant. Messenger is mentioned three times. We can see it in chapter 2, verse 7, where it says, for the lips of the priests should guard knowledge, and they should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. And then it's also mentioned in 3:1, look, I am going to send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you are seeking will come suddenly to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you are taking pleasure, look, he is about to come, says Yahweh of hosts. The Septuagint uses the title Malachias, even though it is also translated by the hand of his messenger. So the author, the only Old Testament mention of Malachi is in chapter 1, verse 1. And chapter 1, verse 1 says, the word of Yahweh to Israel through Malachi. The authorship, date, and unity of Malachi have never been seriously challenged. The unity of the book can be seen in the dialectic style that binds it together. Nothing is known of Malachi, not even his father's name, but a Jewish tradition says that he was a member of the great synagogue. And it says, see author Zechariah. See author in Zechariah. Is he mentioned in Zechariah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it. Okay, but anyway. So the dating and the setting. Although an exact date cannot be established for Malachi's internal evidence can be used to deduce an appropriate date. The Persian term for governor is Pecha. And we see that in Nehemiah 5:14, where it says, moreover, from the appointed day I was made their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, 12 years, my brother and I did not eat the food allowance of the governor. I'm not sure what that is in reference to. But it's describing the Persian term of governor, which indicates that this book was written during the Persian domination of Israel.
The Persian domination of Israel?
Yeah, it doesn't really, I'm not really getting that because.
So when they were captured by the Babylonians.
No, they were captured by the Babylonians. Remember, the Babylonians were captured by the Persians.
Right, so I'm saying it wasn't so much that the Persians were over Israel, but the Israelites were in Babylon, where the Persians now ruled.
Right.
The Persians and the, yeah, because Babylon was, you know, Nebuchadnezzar killed himself. The whole thing, Babylon became weak and Persian became the rulers. But I kind of thought Malachi was way after that, after they had gone back to Jerusalem, because they said all of the, they said the book of Malachi takes place in Jerusalem. So this is post, this is after the captivity.
After the exile.
Right. This is exile. So I don't really understand this. I guess I have to read it more closely. So sacrifices were being offered in the temple. And that is, my God. Hilda, could you get chapter 1 and verse 7 through 10? And Sister Barbara, get chapter 3, verse 8. And I'll tell you when to read it. So sacrifices were being offered in the temple, which was built in 1516 B.C. So they had already completed the building of the temple. But then they started making sacrifices in it.
Excuse me, in what year?
1516 B.C.
Yeah, but remember they weren't captured until 586 B.C. So this is early on.
The numbers goes down. This, right, the numbers, because this Persian because the Persian domination was between 539 and 333 B.C. was the Persian domination. But they left. This must be the people, you know, because remember they left. And I have to look at the dates that that the exiles were able to go. Because once Persia came into, you know, King Cyrus let them go. So it could be that they rebuilt. It was the rebuilding of the temple came in 1516. Even though Persia was still, you know, there was still a group of Israelites who never left Persia, and Persia was still dominating them. And that's between the years of 539 and 333. But these were the exiles who rebuilt the temple in 516 B.C. So that makes sense. You see what I'm saying?
516. Okay.
Yeah.
15.
Right, right. So, Hilda, can you read 1, 7, 10?
Okay. Says, you have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defiled them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of Heaven's Army. Go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Ask the Lord of Heaven's Armies, how I wish one of you would shut the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices could not be offered. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of Heaven's Armies, and I will not accept your offering. Amen.
Amen. Oh, my goodness gracious. Blind, cripple, all kind of, they offering up animals that they wouldn't eat. So they offering the animals that they wouldn't eat or touch. They giving, offering that to the Lord for the sacrifices.
Exactly.
Wow. And then 3:8, Sister Barbara.
3:8. Says, you ask, but how do we return? Begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? But you rob me day after day. You ask, how have we robbed you? The tithe and the offering, that's how. And now you're under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you're robbing me. Bring your full tithe to the temple treasury, so there will be ample provisions in my temple. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. For my part, I will defend you against marauders, protect your wheat fields and vegetable gardens against plunderers. The message of God of the angel armies.
Amen. Wow, this really makes sense to me now. I've heard that scripture before, you know, about who would rob God with the tithes and the offerings, but it really makes a greater sense to me after we read chapter one and we realized that this is coming out of, you know, giving your worst, really robbing God and giving him like your worst.
Your leftovers.
Your leftovers, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. As opposed to your first fruits or opposed to your first harvest. As opposed to the best. Wow. Okay, so evidently many years had passed since the offerings were instituted because the priests had grown tired of them and corruption had crept into the system. In addition, Malachi's oracle was inspired by the same problems that Nehemiah faced, corrupt priest.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can read, let's see, what is this? Hilda, if you can read 1:6 1:6 to 2:9.
Okay. 1:6.
And Sister Barbara, if you can come, it's a comparison, so if you can get Nehemiah 13:1-9, because we're seeing that this is the same type of corruption that Nehemiah faced with these corrupt priests.
Okay. 6, unworthy sacrifices. The Lord of heaven's armies says to the priest, a son honors his father, and a
your body may honey.
Okay. 1 second there. All right, I'll start over. The Lord of heaven's army says to the priest, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the horror and respect I deserve? Honor and respect I deserve. You have shown contempt for my name, but you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defiled them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifice, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's army. How far you wanted me to go?
It goes to 2:9.
Oh, okay.
I can read some. If you want read some. Okay, good.
Verse 9. Go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Ask the Lord of heaven's armies, how I wish one of you which shuts the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices could not be offered. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, and I will not accept your offering. But my name is honored by people of other nations from morning till night. All around the world, they offer sweet incense and pure offerings in honor of my name. For my name is great among the nations, says the Lord of Heaven's army. But you dishonor my name with your actions by bringing contemptible food. You are saying it's all right to defile the Lord's table. You say it's too hard to serve the Lord, and you turn up your noses at my commands, says the Lord of Heaven's army. Think of it. Animals that are stolen and crippled and sick are being presented as an offering.
Oh, my goodness.
Should I accept from you such offerings as these? Asks the Lord.
Oh, boy.
Cursed is the cheat who promises to give a fine ram from his flock, but then sacrifices a defective one to the Lord.
Wow.
For I am a great king, says the Lord of heaven's armies, and my name is feared among the nations.
Wow. Like they don't even know.
Right.
A warning to the priest. Listen, you priests, this command is for you. Listen to me and make up your minds to honor my name, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, or I will bring a terrible curse against you. I will curse even the blessings you deceive, as you receive. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you have not taken my warning to heart. I will punish your descendants and splatter your faces with the manure from your vegetable sacrifices. And I will throw you on the manure pile. Wow. That's verse 3.
God said, I'll take you and just throw you in the dust.
I think they understood that.
I know. Wow. Wow.
That is wild.
Okay. And then, yeah, well, we'll continue. Oh, it's to 9. Just finish to 9. It's to 9, Hilda.
To 9?
It's to, yeah, 2 to verse 9, yeah. And then we'll be finished with this.
Oh, okay. So let me
Goes all the way to 9. I'm sorry.
Okay. And all right, I got to 4. Then at last you will know it was I who sent you this warning so that my covenant with the Levites can continue, says the Lord of Heaven's army. The purpose of my covenant with the Levites was to bring life and peace. And that is what I gave them. This requires reverence from them. And they greatly revered me and stood in awe of my name. These passed on to the people the truth of the instructions they received from me. They did not lie or cheat. They walked with me, living good and righteous lives, and they turn many from lives of sin. The words of a priest's lips should preserve knowledge of God, and people should go to him for instruction. For the priest is the messenger of the Lord of Heaven's armies. But you priests have left God's path. Your instructions have caused many to stumble into sin. You have corrupted the covenant I made with the Levites, says the Lord of Heaven's army. So I have made you despised and humiliated in the eyes of all the people, for you have not obeyed me, but have shown favoritism in the way you carry out my instructions. Wow.
Wow. Wow.
They've been very bad.
Very bad.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
I wouldn't want to be in them days, but these days ain't no better.
They, you can say that again. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's a mess. A true mess. A true mess. And you know what's so interesting, too, because part of, you know, it's interesting that the priest allowed the people to sacrifice, you know, unworthy animals because, you know, the history of the Levites was the Levites, you know, who came from the son, the 12 tribes, you know, the Levites. The Levites was the only only tribe that was not given land because the Levites lived off of the sacrifices. So when they brought the animals in for sacrifice, the Levites ate. That's how they lived. They lived off of the sacrifices that came in to the temple, right? So if they lived off of this, why would they accept useless, you know, useless food? So you know there had to be some other type of corruption.
That's the bottom line. They did not care.
Right.
Like
so,
it said earlier, they forgot who God was. They didn't care.
That's right.
Yeah, but it just shows you that in addition to that, there had to be other corruption going on because if my livelihood, if what I eat, I'm a priest, and what I eat is what you bring to the temple.
Yes.
If you're bringing useless food, then I ain't got nothing to eat. So
more important than that, what they were sacrificing to God. Never mind them. What they were sacrificing to God was a
absolutely manure. Absolutely. If they were sacrificing, you know, worthless
right.
animals to God.
Yes. Right.
Which is definitely true. That's important. That's absolutely important.
Okay.
But the fact, what I'm saying is that the fact that they, the priests, you know, knowing that this is also part of your livelihood, why would you even allow this to happen? So that's just like, it's just, I tell you. Well, anyway, that's it for now. We'll continue with Malachi. I know it opened up my eyes. Yeah, to a lot, you know, when we think about, you know, our offerings, our tithes and offerings to the Lord, how, you know, it really makes you take a look inwardly.
Right. Are you giving God your best?
Right.
Or
divine? Right.
He wants our first fruit.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That is it. You know. Oh, okay, let's pray out. Sister Barbara, can you pray us out, please?
And precious and heavenly Father, it's once more and again a few of your humble servants come to say thank you. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. We thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for the rain. We thank you for the change in lives that are just being healed, Father God. We thank you for the healing of Nadine's daughter. We thank you for the healing of all the situations that are transpiring, Father God. And that's just a reminder that we are to give you our best. Whatever our best is, we're to give you our best. That's what you accept. Anything else is nothing but dung. So thank you for reminding us about that, Lord. Bless everybody that's on this line. Bless their families. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. Lord, we thank you for your unconditional love, your grace, your mercy, your favor, your kindness, Father God, your compassion. Thank you for healing, Lord God, for transforming. Thank you for being on our lives, God. And if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. You are just magnificent. Words can't describe how you are. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You do great things, and you keep on doing great things, Father,
yes,
God. So Lord, just bless us, and we will be blessed. Keep us, and we will be kept. And anything
yes.
that someone's in lack of right now, I pray that you will give it to them if it be thy will. Father
yes.
God, we love you. We adore you. We can't live without you. We can't do anything without
yes.
you. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
What a beautiful
Amen.
Prayer. Praise
Amen.
God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Have a blessed.
And thank you
yeah.
for the wonderful lesson. Thank you, God.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
See you guys tomorrow. Thanks for the reminder.
Yes, ma'am. God willing, tomorrow at 5. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Be blessed.
Okay,
love
man.
You all.
Love you too.
Bye-bye. Good night, ladies. Enjoy.
Shalom.
Shalom.